Welcome back. You're listening to Known as Illegal Radio, a show about the frontline struggles for justice, dignity, and self-determination by migrants, refugees, and Indigenous peoples. We're part of Off the Hour at CKUT 90.3 FM. We're grassroots community radio on the island of Montreal.
We've explored issues related to migration and borders on previous editions of Known as Illegal Radio. We interviewed an anti-racist activist based in Oslo, Norway, for example, who's active in defending the rights of Afghan migrants there. We spoke with an organizer at Ceuta, a Spanish enclave in Morocco, where thousands of African migrants attempt to enter the EU. And we spoke with the author of Open Borders, based in England. The brutal irony is that the European states that originally colonized and enslaved much of the third world are now active in preventing migrants from arriving on their shores and in their countries. When migrants do manage to enter, at great risk, they are deprived of basic security and dignity. Those same European states, along with the US and Canada, perpetuate the economic and military policies that caused the displacement of migrants in the first place. On today's show, we'll deepen our understanding of Fortress Europe with some interviews with frontline organizers based in Germany who are active against racism, borders, and global capitalism. These interviews are based on Robin's visit to Germany in April and May of this year.
To begin, we'll hear about the case of Uri Diallo. On the morning of January 7, 2005, Uri Diallo, who's an asylum seeker from Sierra Leone, was arrested by the police and taken into custody in Dessau, Germany. He was beaten, handcuffed, and chained on the hands and feet to the floor of a cell. 4 hours later, in unexplained circumstances, his cell was on fire. And instead of helping Uri, the policeman on duty turned off the alarm 3 times. Uri burned to death. Since then, Uri's friends and anti-racist groups in Germany are demanding justice. They formed the Initiative in Remembrance of Uri Diallo under the slogan, Uri Diallo, it was murder. The Uri Diallo case is representative of much of the racism and brutality towards migrants in Germany and in Fortress Europe in general.
So for insight into Uri Diallo's case, as well as asylum policy in Germany in general, we'll hear from a Berlin-based organizer named Mai. Mai is a Palestinian and is active in migrant justice and anti-racist initiatives in Berlin, including a group called the Caravane für die Rechte der Flüchtlinge und Migrantinnen, which is German for the Caravan for the Rights of Migrants and Refugees, as well as the Initiative in Gedenken an Uri Diallo, the Initiative in Remembrance of Uri Diallo. In this interview, recorded by Robin in Berlin, May provides more details about the case itself and the way it was treated in the German justice system, which twisted the nature of the charges against the officers responsible for Uri's brutal death and then acquitted them. We'll go to that interview right now.
The case of Uri Diallo is that he, as an asylum seeker in Germany, was restricted to one zone, which is around 30 kilometers square. As a part of it, he was going to a city which was outside of his zone, and a couple of women felt like he was harassing them, and they called the police. When the police came, it was around 7 o'clock in the morning. When the police came, he was already a couple of meters away and minded his own business, and the girls didn't even want to make a complaint, but they decided, as good German police do, that they will check his papers anyway. His papers were completely okay, just that the birth year was exactly in the folding of the paper, and they wanted to see if he's really the guy that he says he is, and they arrested him. He resisted, he was asking why and blah, blah, blah. But they, with force, they brought him to the police station, searched his body, took blood from him to see the amount of alcohol. According to that, we're also aware of the fact that he had like 2.9 alcohol per mil, I don't know how you say it, which means that he was so drunk that he had a blood poisoning. In such a stage, a normal person cannot even think straight. Nevertheless, they thought that he's fit enough to be tied at hands and feet to a mattress on his back. A couple of hours later, he died in a fire that broke out in his cell. The police say that it was a suicide, but according to all the facts that we know about the case, we don't believe them at all. We don't believe that a man that is so drunk can even think straight enough to light himself up. We don't believe that a man that is tied in hands and feet can technically do that with his hands. We don't believe that that he had a lighter at all, because the police searched his body. And all in all, the racism in Germany just brought us to disqualified their version. We decided to take the body for a second autopsy to see if an independent autopsy will find anything else than the German police autopsy. And indeed, this autopsy found out that he had a broken nose and a broken ear, middle ear, I don't know, which for us was just another proof that his death was not an accident, but a result of police brutality. After his death and after the autopsy, the police were very anxious to send the body back. And we started with a campaign to make also the people in Germany aware of the case, to make sure that this case, although it is one of very, very many cases of police brutality, and unfortunately very many cases of death in police hands, we were trying to put it into the public agenda, and engaged two lawyers to represent his father and his mother in court to apply for a trial. In Germany, only the state attorney can decide if there will be a trial on this case. And part of our campaign was to make the trial be opened. And after 2 years, indeed, the state attorney, after doubting that his family is his family, although they didn't have a problem with sending the body over there, when the family applied for a trial, they started to doubt that they are who they are. After all kinds of this bureaucratic manipulations to make it not happen, after that the state attorney decided that he probably cannot run away from it and opened the trial against two policemen. One of the guys that arrested Uyjalo and searched his body, accusing him for overlooking a lighter. And the other one was the responsible policeman of the station at that day. And he was accused of not reacting fast enough to the fire alarm. At first, the trial was supposed to be taking only 4 days. But the amount of witnesses and the amount of open questions that didn't let the judge do it in four days. It was planned for 2 weeks, and from 2 weeks it stayed open. And after 2 years, last December, the trial was closed, or was came to an end. During the trial, we were maybe naive to think that the state would accuse its own people and find out the truth about what happened, and that the amount of open questions will just lead the state attorney to change the trial, the accusation, from manslaughter to murder. But as the trial developed, we understood that it has no real interest in what happened there or in the truth. And after a year and a half, we decided that the initiative will not take part in such a trial, because we will not give the court the legitimacy to say we believe in it. And the initiative decided to step back from the trial and go out of the trial and stand outside of the court and demonstrate against this farce, against this theater that was going on there. the trial ended with a freedom for both, which was not a surprise for us, because if the version of suicide is not true, then also the accusation against these policemen cannot be true, because that's their version that they're supporting all their accusation on. So it's not surprising that it didn't work.
One final question, we're running out of time. You had mentioned before when you were speaking that you don't see this as a one-time case, but part of a larger systemic problem. Could you just say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Unfortunately, police brutality in Germany is a very, very common thing. I mean, it starts with cursing and racist remarks to beating, and unfortunately, also not so few cases of death in police hands. Uwe Jalo was murdered, Alaya Conde was murdered, Dominique Comaggio was murdered. I mean, and I'm talking about only the last 4 years that I know their names. And that's why it was always very important for us to bring Uri Jalo's story in a context of racist Germany, racist system Germany. And so whether it is treating them with inhuman methods to find out all kinds of, like, torture, or being like light on the trigger to shoot when you don't need to shoot on the street, like all kinds. I mean, there are all kinds of stories, and it's for us. We see it also as a like only one sad part of the whole sad story of racism in Germany, which starts with the blocking of refugees on the borders of Europe, and when they come in, treating them like criminals and not letting them go outside of this special zone, to treating them like criminals and arresting them even if their papers are correct, you know. Not to speak about the lady in the supermarket that will shout at you that you're black and go back to where you came from.